This episode is brought to you by Visit Williamsburg. In Williamsburg, Virginia, there's never too much of a good thing. Whether you're a foodie, a golfer, a history buff, a shopaholic, an outdoor enthusiast, or a thrill seeker, you'll find what you came for here and more. So ask yourself, what is it you want? Discover Williamsburg and plan your trip at visitwilliamsburg.com.
You're listening to Garibaldi Red, a Nottingham Forest podcast brought to you by Nottinghamshire Live.
Hello and welcome to Garibaldi Red, Nottingham Forest podcast on Nottinghamshire Live. My name is Matt Davis and we're here for the first of our summer specials with former Reds players. And I'm delighted to be joined by former Forest defender Eric Lehigh. Eric, good afternoon. How are you?
I am doing good. How are you?
Yes, good. Thank you. Good. Good. Thanks for joining us. I think you're back in this country after a stint in Turkey. Is England home to you now then? I know you've got family here, but obviously you're an American. Do you count England as home now?
I would say so. I've lived my whole adult life here, so it is a home to me. But I don't know. I don't know where I'm going to be in the next 5 years, say, let alone the next year. So I just take it as it comes. I'm quite easy. My wife and kids, they look forward to the new adventures wherever we go or wherever we end up. So I don't know. I treat this house that I'm here at like it's a house to me and a home, and it's really nice. But I don't know where I'm going to end up or what will happen in the next 5 years.
Yeah, I mean, we'll come on to that and what you want to do in the next few months. But I suppose we should go back to the beginning for you. I mean, I know in America, I guess soccer, as you probably would have called it, was a big participation sport. But do you think you're always destined to be a professional footballer? Were you bucking the family trend by getting into this sport?
I'm the youngest of three sons that my dad had. So they played soccer or football. And I just naturally just wanted to be like them. So I ended up just playing football. So, I don't know. It was just something that I always did. I wanted to be like my brothers. I used to play up 2 years with one of my brothers. And I just ended up being all right at football, I guess. And over the years, I ended up getting a scholarship and things like that. I don't know if I was bucking the trend, but I just wanted to be like my brothers and play. And I ended up being all right at the sport. I must be doing all right. I'm still playing when I'm 32, so I must have done something right at least.
So you grew up on, was it kind of the suburbs of Chicago, is that right?
The town called Downers Grove. That's where my parents still have that house there, and they're still there now. So, but yeah, it was there was loads of different like fields just to go play on in our back garden. There was like a big like field that, and my dad built a kind of small goal, and I used to always play with either my friends or my brothers right there. And then there was a park, must have been no more than like a mile away, that I used to either ride my bike or just walk there to either go play with my friends and stuff. There's, I don't know, it was just always something. And a lot of my friends, when I was younger, we just played together and we would always play. And I also would play like loads of different sports. I was like that All-American, I guess. Okay, we didn't specialize in one sport. We just played everything, kind of like the athletes like they used to describe Americans back, like probably like 5-10 years ago, they would always say, oh, they're athletes. But now there's some younger players now that you wouldn't say like they're athletes. They're actually quality players. So
when did it become serious, and how did you kind of decide it was the career for you as much as anything?
To be honest with you, I just enjoyed playing. I must have been, became a career, I would say, when I was at Villa. And it was, I ended up signing like a decent deal. And it was, I think it was 21 or 22. I signed like another 2-year extension there, and I was making some serious money. And I thought, I need to, this could be a really money maker for me. I need to keep working hard and keep going at it. And I think it was about then when I was just around, I think I went on a few loans and stuff. It kind of clicked that I needed to buckle down even more and just pursue this as much as I can.
How were you viewing it as before then? I mean, obviously you were taking it seriously because you don't get that stage before, yeah. To Aston Villa without being dedicated. But when did it really, how were you viewing those early years at Villa then? Was it just a good experience as much as anything?
I wouldn't say it was a good experience. I just played. I always played when I was younger. It was just always a part of what I did as a kid. I would just always want to play. I loved playing. And then it got to the point where I, like I said, that contract, it was really good money. And I thought, wow, I need to even work even harder to get even more, because I don't even know how to like say it. Like when I was younger, my mom used to always say, like, you need to get an education. Like, I went to college at UNC. I got a 4-year scholarship there from football. And like, my parents were really happy with that. And like, I don't even know how I ended up at Villa. It was just like my agent ended up at the time. Well, I played with the under 17 national team. I moved out there, and there's this guy who was based in England, and he saw me and he knew I had a Polish passport. And he said, oh, try some different trials at different places. I must have gone on probably like 6-7 different trials before Villa. And Villa was the last one while I was in college. And they ended up taking me. And still, when they took me, I just thought, oh, I'm just playing. I'm going to enjoy it and do everything. I wasn't really taking life too seriously or football seriously. I should say I was working really hard at it and everything, but I didn't see it as like, oh, I'm going to end up doing this forever. It was just something that I did and I really enjoyed, and I still enjoy now.
What was it like coming to England then? I mean, you know, America and England aren't worlds apart, but was there a bit of a culture shock walking into an English dressing room from what you've been used to in America?
Yeah, first year here was probably my worst, probably mentally and physically. I was so far away from it. I came in, I was trying to get myself fit in the summer before I came, and I ended up breaking my foot. So I thought before it even started that I wasn't going to come, but they still ended up taking me. So I didn't touch a football until about December when I first came. And like when I got there, all the guys spoke English, but some of the Irish guys and Scottish guys, I couldn't even understand them the way they spoke with their accents. And then the banter and stuff, I didn't really get it. It was just totally different from the mindset that I had in the U.S. because it was always like a team mentality. And it felt like everyone was a little bit more individualistic and they needed to get to the next stage. Now that I look back at it, I didn't realize at the time, but it was like everyone wanted to be that professional and get to the next step. It didn't matter. They wanted to work the hardest or get there any way possible. So I just wasn't used to that. I was more of a team thing. Everyone was in it together, and it was it was just totally different. And it was, first year was really hard on me. I was unfit. Like, I had so many problems. I was playing like I couldn't even feel my foot. I had a broken foot. I couldn't feel it probably till February. So I was playing with like a numb foot whenever I was in training. So I was terrible. I was supposed to be playing with the reserves, but I was on the bench with the youth team. And I was barely even coming on in games. So it was a really, really tough time. It was really bad. And plus, also the digs bit, I didn't even know about that. You had to stay with a host family, which were really, really nice, to be fair. And that was actually all right with it. That was more like normalization for me, which was okay. But it was a big difference for me, that's for sure, that first year.
So did you come over here on your own, I guess, without any family? Was it quite a lonely existence that first few years, like the year or so while you're settling in?
I wouldn't say lonely because when I was 14, I moved away. When I was younger, I moved to Florida for 3 years, and that was with the USA, like they called it a residency program. There was 40 guys then differencing in the age, and it ended up trying to get to the under 17 World Cup. So I was away for like 4 years prior. So it was nothing like loneliness with that. It was just, like you said, the culture shock and the way the people, like the guys were there. I was just totally not used to it at all. It took me a year to get settled in, that's for sure.
How do you reflect on your Villa experience overall then? Because I didn't realize you played quite as many games as you did, but it never seemed like you got quite a run in the side to really establish yourself. Is that fair to say you probably felt like you needed a bit more of a chance or not?
I don't know. I wouldn't say so. I enjoyed my time there. I spent, I think it was 5 or 6 years there. I learned a lot how to become a professional there. So my time there was well worth it. Especially the coaches there, like the reserve team coach and youth team coach, Kevin McDonald, especially, he basically taught me how to become a professional. And if it wasn't that step when I came there, if he wasn't there, I don't know if I would be talking to you right now and if I would played all the games that I have done. But I don't know. The Villach, but my time there, I did play some games. I scored in the Premier League, which I'm happy about. When I look back at it, I probably wasn't ever going to be first choice because there was always somebody in front of me. I played left back and right back, which I didn't mind, but I don't know. I probably wasn't one of the better players, but I enjoyed my time when I was playing, and I owe a lot to that club.
How did you end up at Forest then? Because you've been on loan at, was it Leeds, I think, most recently before then. How did you end up at the City Ground?
Well, so it ended when, I think it was Paul Lambert was there. He didn't want to keep me on. So my agent sorted out, he said there was three clubs interested in me. And I think it was Forest was one of them. I think Brighton was the other. And then I'm not sure what the third one was. I'm not sure. I don't remember the third one. But I think Forest were the closest. And I just thought, yeah, I was looked at the background of both teams and or all three teams. I can't remember the third one. I'm not sure. But I just ended up choosing Forest out of the lot and really enjoyed my time. I guess there, 5 years I was there.
What was it like walking in through the door then? What were your first impressions of the club?
It was not as big as Villa, the training ground at least. I remember that because they just built, when I first came there, Villa built this unbelievable, it was literally my first day there. Like, you know, my first year there, they built their new training ground and they had a pool, sauna, everything. So Forest was a little bit different, which was nothing out of the ordinary because I was at a loan at different clubs. So their training grounds weren't as good, but Forest was it was a good place. They had a good gym, good pitches, and that's all you really need.
What about the dressing room? We've had quite a few different players on here over the years, and they've given very different verdicts on the dressing rooms they were working into. Was it a good group of guys there at that time or not?
Yeah, I would say so. It was we had a really strong team at the time, a lot of big names, and I'm just too bad that first year because we had a lot of injuries. I think we would have probably at least made playoffs, if not gone up that year, if our whole team was kept fit. But it's one of those things that things happen. But we had a really strong team. I remember that. And with the manager, Billy Davis, he got us really fit and playing in a way that we ended up winning a lot of games.
Who's played for Billy that we've had on here? Nathan Tyson, Paul Anderson, Guy Moussy, they all love Billy. What were your impressions of him as a manager?
Yeah, he was really good. Really good. His training worked you hard. He was clear and concise in his on how he wanted to play and in his like instructions. If he wasn't happy with you, he let you know. He was really he just let you know face to face. He was really honest with you, and you knew if he was pissed off with you, and you knew if he was happy with you. So. And honestly, I think that's the best way. And plus, like, he just got the whole group going. We had a group of guys that really wanted to play for each other, and we were in a good place, basically. But like I said, like, the injuries let us down that year.
Things kind of unraveled at the end with Billy, I think it's fair to say, in his second spell. There was a lot of attention with his feud with the media and stuff like that. And then Stuart Pearce came in. Does that kind of filter into a dressing room, all that off-the-field stuff that's going on? Or can you still focus on the game when there's a bit of a circus around the club gradually forming, I guess?
For me, I think it does affect some players. But for me, I was always focused on the games and what I could control. And what I can control is my performance. And then a little bit of the performance of the guys around me with how I can influence them. But the off-the-field stuff is really nothing to do with me or some of the guys at the club. Like, it's sometimes I don't even read into it. Some people would tell me things, and I honestly, it just would go over my head because there's nothing I could do or control. That my, what I control is the performances of myself on the pitch.
Stuart Pearce was the next manager who came in. I remember that game against Blackpool, the crowd going nuts. What was it like playing for Stuart? Because it was a bit similar. You were in a great position, and then injuries absolutely killed you. What are your reflections on that period?
It's just like frustrating. I feel like we always had good teams, but we ended up letting ourselves down, probably not in the beginning of the season, but like a little bit after. We had a really strong start, and then we would dip a little bit. It was just it's always been like an up and down, I guess, for the 5 years I was there. It was like a roller coaster, I would say. But Stuart was a good manager as well. And it's just frustrating when I look back. I wish I could have, I don't know. I wish I could have got the club promoted. And I know they're still trying it now, and it's always a really difficult task, but hopefully one day they'll get up there.
I suppose it turned that, Stuart Pearce probably turned on that game where I think Reed and Britt got injured in the same game. I think it was all around that time, maybe Derby, and Britt was injured very close around then. Do you remember that time and feeling like it was just slipping away from you at all? Do memories like that still filter into your mind even now, these years later, or not?
No, I do not remember that period at all, to be honest with you. I basically, my mindset is if I focus on the next game that's in front of me and I put my full concentration on it, and once that game's gone, I'll reflect on it and then I'll put it in the past. But most of the games I probably can't remember. I have a terrible memory. So, unless something really stood out in the game, then I'll probably remember it. But a lot of the games, I just don't remember.
I should ask you about a couple more managers since we're going through them then. I mean, okay. Philippe Montagnier seemed an interesting one. He seemed like a really good guy, but it seemed a bit frenetic on the pitch. I remember a few 4-3s and stuff like that. What was Montagnier like to play for?
He was a little bit different. I remember preseason, it was totally like low volume. So not as intense, but the training sessions were really, really long. And for me, that was a really, really different. I was not used to that. I was more wanted like really, really intense trainings and to get my fitness up really quickly. And I just feel like I wasn't fit. And I remember that the first game, I did not feel like on the mark. And I went into his office and I actually told him, like, I don't feel fit. If you're thinking about playing me, can you actually put me on the bench? Because I would not be able to give 100%. In the first game, it's probably better suited. Somebody else takes a spot. I remember saying that, but it was a lot of, I had to do a lot of work. It was just a different, I think it was just different cultures. I don't know if he was a little bit not used to the English way and he wanted to change it and go into his ways. But I really liked the high intensity work and in shorter periods of training, but he liked a little bit lower intensity, but for a longer period of time.
Was there a shift in the dressing room around that period then? Because I know you had like Ollie Burke was coming through, and you had guys coming in like Thomas Lamb, Damian Perkis, Stojkovic, guys who hadn't played in England before. Was there a big change in the kind of dressing room dynamic around that period?
Oh, yeah. I think there's a lot of like, it was just different cultures around, and a lot of the guys probably weren't used to the intensity of the championship. I know we made a lot of defensive mistakes back, around that time. It was just a learning curve. And even for me, I understood it because my first year, it was absolutely horrendous for me. So I can only imagine some of those guys coming in. It's just different. It doesn't matter where they've played or anything. It's always going to be difficult that first year coming into any club, especially from a different country.
We'll go through the other ones quickly. And I suppose Mark Warburton was the next guy who came in. He played his brand of football, and it seemed like it never quite worked as well as it might have done. What was Mark like?
He was good. His trainings were really, really good. I liked his trainings and everything. He got a team playing in a specific way. We knew how to play, and I think it was that year that we just stayed up. I'm pretty sure was when he came in, right? Yeah.
the Ipswich game.
Yeah, that was intense. That I don't. Jeez, oh my gosh, just thinking about that stresses me out, honestly. But yeah, he put us in playing like that, total football that you see in a lot of teams playing now, like playing out the back and splitting. It was a little bit different for me, but I had to get used to it. I was starting to not play as much then. I don't think he viewed me as the first choice right back, and I was used probably less sparingly then. And I was going to be that. I think the next year after that, that's when I ended up leaving.
What about talk to me about that Ipswich game then. I know you don't want to because it sounds so stressful, but that must have been
I don't know if you could see all these gray hairs. That's where it started, well, right?
Yeah,
there, that game,
right? Comparing.
I know, honestly, that game, oh my, it reminded me because of that Derby and Sheffield Wednesday game. It brought back memories. It's that was horrible. I would not wish anybody to be a part of that. I know probably the fans and everything were probably just as nervous as us as players, but you hear everything, everybody saying, like, some people, oh, I might get sacked from the job, like staff members, please win the game and things like that. And then you got some players saying they can't afford their mortgage if we go down because of the wage difference that they're going to be on. So it was just intense beforehand. I remember the game before we lost to QPR. I think it was 2-1. And me and a few of the guys, we actually went back to my house, and we got absolutely steaming, to be honest with you. We drank a lot of vodka that night, and we just let loose. And that was probably the best thing for us because one of the guys there ended up scoring. I'm not going to say who, but it ended up working, I think. We laugh about it now. But I would never wish that kind of game on to anyone, either – go down before the last day or be safe before the last day. You don't need to save that stress for something else. When you have kids, at least, or something like that. It's horrible. It was horrible playing. And you just, honestly, for me, I did not want to make a mistake in that game. It was one of those games and you just waited for that one moment. And I think, to be fair, Jordan saved us. That save off the post absolutely saved us, and we ended up scoring right after that. That was probably a huge save. It was really underrated. I wish it was like really big moment. I think he probably remembers that for a long time, that save. You should have a little video of that. That was, honestly, I remember that save, and I thought, thank God, because that would have been bad going 1-0 down. And then the fans also, I remember the fans when I'm taking throw-ins shouting that Blackburn's beaten Brentford like 1-0 and then 2-0. Oh my gosh. It did not help at all. It did not help during the game.
Tell me about Forest fans then, because I think we had Nathan Tyson on last week and he was talking about how Forest fans are different to other clubs and they do genuinely make a difference. And I don't think he was blowing smoke up our asses or anything like that. I mean, what was your relationship like with Forest fans while you were there then?
To be honest, I thought they were really similar to Villa fans because they are crazy, by the way. They're really, really, really passionate. If you lose a game, they'll let you know about it in a good or bad way. And then it was the same at Villa. I remember at Villa, we lost the game. I think it was Boxing Day. And I don't know. I wanted to watch a DVD or something. So I went to HMV and I was looking at getting a DVD, and a dad came up with his son and goes, oh, you ruined our Christmas. You lost the game. And I actually was, I didn't know what to say. I said, just sorry. I was like, I don't know. I don't even think I played in the game, but he came up to me and said it. And nothing was said like that to me at Forest. It's more just like online abuse and stuff like that nowadays. But I think they're very similar. So it was kind of normal to me. I just thought it was the norm because I was at Villa, and then moving to Forest. Both clubs are really big, and they're really got really passionate fans.
Is the history of Forest a positive or a negative for a player? When do you have that kind of, oh, we won the European Cup twice, ram down your throat? Is that a good thing? Does it drive you on, or does it make you play within yourself and it's a bit of a millstone? What's it like playing for a club with that kind of history?
Well, it's nothing that I would say like drives you on. It's like that you just know hearing from it that it's a really big club. If you've won the European Cup, you know it's a big club. And there's always pictures. You walk into all the offices and stuff, there's pictures everywhere of the history and how they've done it and everything. So it's even though I watched the DVD, somebody gave me the DVD. What was it called? I can't remember what it was called.
I believe remember? Miracle.
Yes, that. It's honestly, it's a really, really big club, but I don't think it sets them back in any way. I just think players know that it's a big club to be at, and it's got a big history and it's got a big fan base, and you feel that right away, especially in the first game when I first signed.
Yeah, do you remember your debut then?
I don't remember the game, but I just remembered I really enjoyed it. We won, though. I think we won 1-0, but I do not remember the game. You can check that if you want. But I'm pretty sure we won 1-0. And yeah, I just thought it was. I think it must have been Fool as well, because it was, I don't know, it was a really good, it was a good game. I think Jamie Mathieu was playing in front of me. I think it was. I was a right back and he was right mid.
I shall trust you, don't worry.
I don't know. That could be totally wrong. I have the worst memory, so we'll see. We'll see if that's true.
Karanka was the last manager you played for, is that right, at Forest?
Yes.
He's had a nightmare at Birmingham, and it didn't work out there at all. But I think Forest fans kind of regard him quite highly. What would you say about Karanka?
To be honest with you, I just remembered the kind of the last bit, because at the end of the season, I just remember them going in and telling me that next year I'll be about fourth or fifth, like fullback choice, and basically that I can move on. So he is a good manager. I would say he got us playing in a certain way. He was really, really precise in how to play, and he covered all aspects of the game. But like that bit at the end, I don't know if it was him or if it was more the owners that were saying it, because they were both in there. So they both Karanka didn't tell me. It was one of the owners, not the owner, but
the CEO.
He's the one that spoke to me. So I don't know who was saying the information, but. That just sticks into me. I remember that bit. There's not much I remember, but I remember that. And we forgot a manager. We forgot Dougie Freeman as well.
Oh, of course. Yeah. Yeah. Tell me about Dougie Freeman quickly, and then we'll come back.
He was very good. I liked him because he had a lot of defensive training sessions and got us really, really structured in a really good way. And as a defender, it was really nice. But people say, I think, that we didn't score enough goals, but we did well enough that year. We probably missed out a few, like almost every other year, but he was an overall really good manager, I would say.
Do you think he had a tough time? That was around the time when there was an embargo and you had to sign, you know, Ward and Mills on free transfers. Do you feel like his hands were a bit tied, weren't they, probably?
Maybe, but I don't really. Like I said before earlier, I don't really look into that. Like if sometimes you could get players on a free and they'll be the best signings that you have. And some players cost a bit more, but you don't look at it that way. We had a good solid team. And I think we ended up maybe 12th or 13th, which was a shame. I think we should have ended up a bit higher up that year.
It's interesting how you say that. The peripheral stuff didn't bother you. I know Guy Moussy was on here and he talked about how players having the chairman's number and going over the manager's head made it a difficult dynamic. And Sean O'Driscoll has been on as well, saying, you know, he went to Fawaz and saying, you know, you've got to stop paying these guys so much money and giving out new contracts and stuff like that. I mean, that was just completely alien to you then. You didn't register at all with you in terms of day-to-day dynamics and performance or anything?
No. Like I said, what you get with me is what. I'll tell you, I'm always honest in everything. So I always give 100% minimum. That's how I was raised. And in every game, every training, I always try to give my best. And I never had a chairman's number like ever in my career. I would never think to do that. I just think that's extremely disrespectful. And if players were doing that, they probably were, to be fair. I wouldn't put it past any of them, but if they were, fair enough. But I chose to my work rate and how I was on and off the pitch, I think, made me successful as a player. So I would never shy away from that or never change how I am with that. But I didn't really hear of players going to the chairman and stuff, but I definitely do believe it for sure.
There's a few kind of highlights of your time at Forest I wanted to ask you about. You won player of the season and you captained them quite a lot around that time. I mean, where does that rank on your, you know, career CV? It must be quite high up in terms of proud achievements.
Yeah, to be honest with you, when I came over here and I started getting a little bit older, I thought, yeah, I just being American, I'll probably never captain a club just because of being from a different country. But my time spent at Forest, I think I was a little bit of a bigger influence, especially I think how I was a lot off the pitch and on the pitch. Some people might think I'm annoying as well because of how like consistent I am with my approach and things. I have to do a certain amount of stuff all the time. And I feel like if somebody else is not like holding their weight, then I get a little bit annoyed, especially in training. So it's I don't know, maybe coaches like that. Some coaches might not. I think how I am like as a player, it helps out, but it is a good achievement. So it's good to look back. I think I still have one of the Captain Darden bands. I kept a few jerseys and I have it framed up. So it will be something to remember for sure in the future.
How did other players respond if you're quite direct in the changing room? Some players, does it depend on the person if you're not pinning them against the wall, but giving them a dressing down either in the changing room or in training? Is it horses for courses in terms of how players react to that?
No, it wasn't really. I never really gave anybody a dressing down. I don't remember that, though. It was just I tried to encourage, but sometimes I get a little bit annoyed and try to say, like, almost do better, but not in a malicious way, I would say. I tried to encourage more. And, like, after games, this persona of people, like, shouting after games, I just think it's all BS, to be honest with you. I don't really like speaking straight after games if there's a loss, because I know people are in a bad mood. They probably say stuff they don't want to say. It's better to wait and look at the video, and because people might try to perceive things in a different way. So like usually after games, I won't be saying too much, because you need to just let yourself cool down a bit before you let anybody know about themselves. And plus, I like looking at myself. If there is a goal and it might not be directly in my fault, I think to myself, how could I done better? And how can I improve in next game and make sure that doesn't happen in the future?
The other game, you probably can't do an interview without being asked about Arsenal, I suppose. So we should certainly discuss that. I mean, talk to me about the Arsenal game and that goal in particular. As individual nights go throughout your career, that must be the best one, mustn't it?
Yeah, I would say so. I have for two. I think I only have like 7 or 8 goals. So to get 2 goals in one game, and then especially against Arsenal, like I think they're top 4 team at the time. I've seen people on the internet saying ever since I scored 2 goals, Arsenal have gone downhill from then. And it is, to be fair, it is true. They have been going a little bit downhill. Yeah. But that I'll always remember that. I have a video of it, like I said, with some framed, and it was a really special night. I ended up getting a dog from it who heard barking in the background before, but it was which is kind of annoys me. I didn't even get man of the match that game, scoring 2 goals.
Who did?
I think it was Ben.
Oh, but yeah.
To be fair to him, he played unbelievable that game, so he probably deserved it more than me.
He did end Mertesacker's career basically that night, as well. Yeah.
He was phenomenal that game. So yeah, but it was a really good game. Plus, I'm just gonna mention it. The reason why I scored 2 goals is because the misses and the kids were gone. They were somewhere, I don't know. So I had a free house for like 3 or 4 days beforehand where I got to sleep fully and not worry about anything. So I'm just going to mention that in there and hopefully it gets back to her.
what about the goal? I mean, it was 2 goals, but there's the goal, the volley. I mean, that must have been a dream moment for you. It sat up so well. You know, it's not a typical Eric Lehigh goal, I guess. Talk us through that one.
I don't even know. I just, I looking like I remember the goal. So I think Matty goes down the line and he crosses the ball. I think somebody heads it, and then it's still in the box in the scuffle. It's up in the air. And as it's coming down, I think he's not going to clear this properly. I don't remember which center back it was, but he's not going to clear this properly. And I run into the like top of the 18-yard box, and I think this is going to come to me, and I'm going to score, basically. That's what goes through my head beforehand in a split second. It actually came to me, and I just thought, yeah, I'm going to go for it, and ended up being a perfect strike. So if I tried it again right now, I would probably shank it. It would probably go straight to the goalkeeper's hands, to be honest with you, but I'm just glad it went into the top corner on that day.
What was it like afterwards with all the media attention? You seem like a pretty chilled out guy. Was that all a bit alien to you? All the headlines about getting a dog and get a dog if you score a hat trick? I can't remember what it was, but what was all that like, the whirlwind?
It wasn't really that big of a whirlwind. Like I said, I'm chilled out. I don't take too much. I just let everything almost fly over my head. But I just remember my wife didn't want a dog. So I made a bet. I think it was a year earlier, or might be 6 months earlier, saying if you score a hat trick, and she knew that I wouldn't score a hat trick because, to be honest with you, I'm not going to score a hat trick. I still haven't scored a hat trick, but I just wanted to. Two was going to be my closest, and I knew it. So I just thought, let's get it done, and ended up I'll get him right now. I'll get him and show you right now.
Okay,
he's right here. He's a little bit aggressive though. But he's still okay.
I'm far enough away.
He's probably doesn't look as cute on here, but
what's his name?
It's Gunner. of course. Yeah. But I don't know. It was just good. Something I'll remember. So it's always something I'll play the kids or grandkids when I get older, and they'll get annoyed at me for it.
There's a few people associated with that game I wanted to ask you about. One's Gary Brazil. Do you kind of wish that he'd been manager? He came in as caretaker and got good results. Or was it probably just, not a flash in the pan? Was he best suited to being caretaker and doing what he's doing now with the youth team? Well, I suppose the question is, what did you make of Gary Brazil in a very ham-fisted way?
Well, I think, I don't know, if he wasn't manager that game, I don't know if we ended up winning that, because there was a lot of younger guys in the team, and I know that he trained them through the youth team. So a lot of the guys like really enjoyed him. And I know a lot of the younger guys were really happy that he was taking charge for a little bit. So I think it gave them a little extra kick, basically. So if he wasn't manager, I don't know if we ended up winning that game. So yeah, he definitely influenced that game in a really good way.
And then a couple of players I wanted to ask you about from around that time who are doing well now to different degrees. What do you feel like Ben Brereton hasn't kicked on as much as he might have done? I remember him doing really well at Forest. Do you feel like there's a real player in there that hasn't quite come out of Blackburn yet?
I think he's, how old is he now? I think he's like 22.
Yeah, he's still young.
Yeah, he's still really young. So he's still got time, but he's still a good player. I think he'll just mature and grow more and more, and hopefully in the next couple of years he'll be scoring more goals, but hopefully not against me if I'm playing in the championship at least. So but he was a good player at such a young age when I was there, and I think he's still going on well. He's still got probably a lot to learn. He's probably still learning. At 22 I was on my second loan, I think, in League One or something. I barely even played. So the amount of experience he has now, it's probably no rush for him. But he'll probably have some goals that set out for himself, and I'm sure he'll hit those targets.
The other one's Joe Worrell, who got sent off in that game, who's had a really good season at Forest. He sounds like a character in terms of quite forthright in his opinions, and he seems like a natural leader. I mean, what would you say about Joe when he was coming through at that time?
Joe, I think it was a good time for him to play for Forest because he got a lot of exposure, and he was around a lot of guys that were a little bit older that kind of would help him out a bit, because I know he was making a few mistakes around that time, but no one ever was too harsh on him or anything. It was always, if you make mistakes, just try to rectify it and do well. But he's definitely grown and kicked on. He's doing really well for Forest and hopefully for years to come. I don't know if he'll be moving on or anything, but I think at Forest, hopefully he could lead them and get them promoted.
I want to, I suppose we should talk about the kind of gradual departure from Forest then, which on paper looks like it began at Burton when he got sent off. I don't know if that's a fair assessment or not, because Tendai Darikwa came in and then seemed to cement his place. Am I right about that? And do you look back on that Burton game with some regret that you know it seemed to cost you your place, certainly?
To be fair, I do remember that Burton game, and that red card was not a red card because, one, I intentionally slid through his leg. So he opened his legs out. I actually know that Martin, he came to hole when I was at hole my second year. But he opened his legs up, and I ended up sliding in between his legs to get the ball. But to be fair, it hurt me more because I concussed myself with that tackle. I was slid in that hard. My head hit his back. I actually concussed myself. I don't know if anybody knows that, but from there, I don't think it was my demise. After that, I went with the national team. I think it was international break. I ended up going with the national team, but I don't see it as a downfall. I don't have any regrets with anything because it definitely wasn't a red card anyways.
So, was it a bitter departure then? You touched on earlier about the meeting you had with Karanka, and I think it sounds like Yanis Frentos, the CEO. Was after such good service to the club, does it leave a bit of a bitter taste in the mouth of how you actually left then?
Oh, no, I'm actually, the circumstance, I'll always remember it because it was a big moment, but I actually would rather that them just coming to me and saying that you won't be playing, so you're better off elsewhere. So at least they're honest with me and I could end up going, and which, to be fair, actually happened. So I got nothing against them. I'm happy that they just said it straight to my face, to be honest with you.
That must have been a surprise, though. I mean, you know, you've been playing for the US national team. You got back into it. You've been in, it felt like, as I recall, pretty good form. And suddenly you're told you're going to be fourth or fifth choice fullback. I don't know who they plan to bring in, but that must have come as a bit of a surprise, mustn't it?
No, I got the gist before the season ended that they were probably going to let people go. And in my back of my mind, I thought, yeah, I'm going to be one of these guys that they're going to tell that basically not to come back, and they won't be stopping me from finding another club. So I kind of knew, and I was expecting it. So it wasn't that big of a surprise, but I'm just glad they told me. I know some people probably won't be happy with how it was, but they were honest with me, and they there wasn't any problems me leaving either. They didn't try to stop me or ask for a lot more money, or at least I don't think they did.
I suppose the conundrum then is, obviously footballers move on all the time, but you've got a young family. I think your wife's got a business round here, so it'd be a lot of upheaval. Was that a stressful time as you tried to find the right move, not just for you, but for your family as well?
Yeah, I don't like being a free agent. Like right now, I'd like a little bit of security. I want like a goal, to know a plan. Like at different clubs, I know like a manager will tell me, oh, this is the plan for the season beforehand. Oh, this is the project, or this is what I plan for you and what you need to set out for the rest of the season. So being a free agent, it's kind of like up in limbo, but hopefully I'll get somewhere soon. But with the family aspect, I told my wife before we got together that I'll probably end up moving. So if you're not prepared for that, then this probably wouldn't work out. But, and she's still here. I think we've been together for quite a while now, but we're pretty resilient. The kids are as well. They've been here, there, and everywhere. So we got a good family unit, and we're staying strong. So they're up for anything that happens, basically.
Just tell people briefly about your thoughts on all your time at Hull then. That's a club that's had, you know, the owners are quite unpopular there, and it sounds like an interesting club. Was that a good move for you or not?
Yeah, really, really enjoyed my time here. I'm still living here. My house is still in Hull, so it's a really nice area. The club is really, really good, but I guess it's at the time that I came, the fans are kind of really bitter to the owners. They're not really happy with them. For various reasons and everything, but I got to captain them, which is a which is a big honor. An actual, the actual captain at the start of the season, not just like coming in and out. So that's a really big honor for me, especially being American and everything. But it was a good 2 years that I spent there, and got no hard feelings. Just the only thing is they got relegated earlier. I'm just really happy that they bounced straight back and they're back in the championship, which is really good for the club and all the guys that are still there that I know.
You spent the last year in, I think it's only 1 year in Turkey. I suppose a lot of players probably go out there because Turkish fans sound so crazy, but it's been a completely different experience for you living out there through the pandemic. What was it? What's the last year been like in Turkey for you?
Well, when I first got out there, everything was open. Everything was actually quite easy, to be honest with you. It was a lot better than England. Everything was closed in England. So I really enjoyed my first couple months there until it was going really well. And then about December, I had an injury that kind of stopped me playing. So I was doing a rehab out there since like January till about March or April now. So now I'm back running on the grass and just getting myself fit, ready for the next club. But it was a good experience, I would say. Living in Istanbul is a crazy city. It doesn't make me want to live in any big cities. I'm not a really big city person, but it's just a difference. Basically, like I said, like I'm ready for the next adventure. It was an adventure for me, but I think being around here back in England is probably the best bit for me.
What's Turkish football like? Because English football has its style, and I think we've been discussing this on the podcast before about how the game's a bit different in the pandemic with no crowds. What's it like playing in Turkish football with no crowds?
It's kind of crazy that they're really, really passionate, I would say. And also, like, the standard, the players, compared to like the championship, the players technically are really, really good, but like tactically, it's all over the place. Last 15 minutes is absolutely chaos. I can't even explain it. Like, everyone's shouting that's in the stadium. I know there's not a lot of people, but like coaching staff, everyone's going crazy at the refs. The amount of the abuse the refs get and stuff from staff members. Oh my gosh. It's absolutely mental. It's like totally different, I would say, but it's a lot. It's the intensity is totally different to like the championship, because it's almost 90 minutes of, let's go, let's go, let's go. But the standard there is like, it's almost like build up a little bit, try to keep the ball. At least this is how our team played, and kind of look for that opening. And that's when those intense periods are, because it was a little bit hotter than it is here in England. So you can't keep up that pressing pace for 90 minutes. It's almost impossible with the heat.
Before we finish by talking about what your plans are for the future, I just want to zip back to one thing about Forest, because I was thinking you're the most recent player we've had on who's actually played in the Marinakis era. What was it like? Do you recall when Marinakis bought the club? Was it quite hectic or not? And what, did you meet him, and what are your impressions of him if you did meet him?
To be honest with you, like I said before, I know this is probably cliche. You probably know I'm going around the answer, but it didn't really affect me at all too much. The things that I control were on the pitch and how I trained and how I looked after my body, because that's the only things that I can't control. So it wasn't really that. The only thing I would say is that I knew that there would be some changes, whether it would be managers or players coming in. They'll probably implement what they wanted, and whether I would be a part of that was something that I couldn't control. I just had to worry about the performance. For performances of myself on the pitch. So, like I said, people might think that I'm going around the question, but honestly, the things that I control are what I'm worried about, and that's how I basically deal with things that are changing.
Which kind of brings us to the present day then, in terms of control of your own career. You without a club at the moment, which doesn't sound like it sits well with you. So what are the hopes in terms of what you want to do? Is it a championship club? Would you drop down? Would you go back abroad? What are you thinking?
I told my agent I'm up for anything. I would, any kind of project, I'm up for anything. New adventure, another country, I don't mind. I'm looking for anything, really. So anything that kind of sparks my interest, I won't say no to. So we'll just have to wait and see. But I just want to be playing again, whether it's in this country or not. So I'm looking forward to the start of the season.
What about the long-term future? I mean, you're 32, you've got 3 or 4 good years left in you, I'm sure. But do you think, does coaching interest you? Does leaving football completely interest you? Going back to America with the family, have you even thought that far ahead?
Yeah, I've tried to think that far ahead, but something always happens and it derails it. So there's no point in thinking that far. But right now I'm going through I'm probably going to become a coach. I do like football a lot. So I think I could teach the younger generation the things that I've learned from being a professional. So I'll probably end up going that pathway, whether or not I'll be a manager or youth team coach. I'll just have to wait and see. And once I get the experience with the coaching, I'll probably find my feet and see what I enjoy the most.
Would you want your daughters to go into it if they were good enough at football in the Women's Super League or anything like that? Would you tell them to stay well away from the game now?
No, I would tell them to stay away. It's too stressful, honestly. It's a lot of BS out there and it's too stressful. So I would tell them to stay away from it.
Well, we hope you find a new club soon, and we hope it's a good move for you and the family. Thanks for joining us, Eric. I really appreciate it. I'm sure Forest fans are enjoying hearing from you. So we certainly wish you well, and we'll be back with another episode like this next week with another player who's already confirmed that. So we've just got to get that one recorded. Thanks very much, everyone.
Thank you for listening to Garibaldi Red, a Nottingham Forest podcast. If you enjoyed today's episode, then please let us know. We love hearing your feedback. We'll be back soon with another episode. Thanks for listening.